The Lonely Helpless Podcast. The 21st century. The radio of the future. And lurking beyond the cold, strange immensity of conquered space. Growing and spreading beyond the warped imagination of the greatest human intellect. Exploding in unspeakable horror. Four men struggle for survival in the infected remains of a diseased universe. Four maniacs search for the last chance to save the human race from the desperate hunger of the Green Slime!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania!
Something screaming across your mind, Green Slime!
And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
You believe it when you're dead. Green slime. Green slime. Green slime.
Hello. Welcome. I'm your host this week, Crazy Chris Hudson. And with me to watch the Green Slime is Jason Hulls.
Green Slime!
Michael Hayes.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Green Slime!
And Crazy Paul Brooks.
That was going to be mine.
That's the noise that the green slime makes.
Now, other people have to listen to this. We can't replicate that noise.
Oh,
darn it, because I have it in my notes here that I wanted to thank Chris for peppering the sound of the green slime monsters in through the whole episode. So it's there.
No, you wrote that wrong, Jay. We're thanking Chris for never making a listener have to hear the sound.
You mean this sound?
Oh, my God. Listener, turn it off. Listener, as many good, interesting things as any of us might say, any funny bits that might have happened, all the kink tanks that are bound to happen with this fucking perverted movie, none of them are worth having to hear the sound of the fucking green slime. Back out, abort, get the fuck out of here.
Chris, thank you for putting the sound of the green slime underneath Mike's entire thing right there.
Guys, I'm just checking in here on our subscription page. It's dropped to -7. I don't know how that's possible. We have -7 fucking subscribers now.
I just want to say, if for some reason I didn't get around to putting the green slime noise in this episode at all, I just want to say that my girlfriend hates that noise almost as much as Mike. And she kept...
Everyone does!
She kept thinking, like, what's that noise? Is there a rabbit being eaten outside my window?
It sounds like a fucking clown at a children's birthday party making balloon animals in inappropriate manners to oppress the single moms.
Well, okay. I think that's going to say it's pretty much Mike's review there, right?
All right, later, guys. It's been good.
All right. Well, okay. So we watched The Green Slime, a movie that is very near and dear to my childhood heart. It was directed by Kinji Fukasaku, who has done a bunch of stuff. Oh my God, I didn't realize like a lot of the talent that was involved in this movie. So he did the movie Battle Royale about Japanese school kids on an island killing each other. He did that. He directed the Japanese portion of Tora 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 when Akira Kurosawa dropped out. He's well known for, I guess, a
series of Japanese gangster movies, Battles Without Honor or Humanity.
You know, I read also a little bit about him, and there's a Battle Royal 2, right? That I think it was just a few years ago that came out. He's no longer with us, but I guess he had cancer, and they told him, you've not got long to live, so you better, you know, start setting your affairs in order. He's like, nah, I'm going to go direct Battle Royale 2 now.
Yeah. Priorities.
He just loved movies so much, he wouldn't stop.
Yeah. To be fair, it's a good movie. The second one, never bothered to see.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one.
This was also made by the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but the Toei Film Company in Japan, who's done a lot of stuff, including, Paul, you'll recognize this one from Drunk Movie Reviews, Young Gary, Monster from the Deep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
As well as other classics like Ghost of the One-Eyed Man and Ghost Story of Broken Dishes at Banjo Mansion. You know, some of my favorites.
Well, it's funny because MGM paid for this movie. They put up the money, the production costs, but then they turned it over to Toei to produce this movie in Japan.
Oh, Toei, do you mean the film company that made Weak Need from the Fear of Ghost Cat?
Yes, the very same.
Okay.
Really hoping that you pick that one next, Mike.
Now, what I found really interesting is that this was written by William Finger, Tom Rowe, and Charles Sinclair. William Finger, you may recognize as the fucking co-creator of Batman and the Joker.
Oh, Batman! Mike, we were just talking about this last week on Dark Hollywood.
Batman!
Oh, shit.
Paul and I were talking about Batman.
That's bizarre.
But it also stars Robert Horton, Richard Jekyll, and Luciana Paluzzi in a terrible love triangle.
Ooh.
It was made in 1968, the same year that 2001 came out.
You can tell, very similar production
quality.
Just as
good.
Oh, yeah.
Just as good.
And you know, I think above all, this movie deserves some quick takes.
Quick takes!
Paul, let's start with you.
You know, I just really want to say thank you because this is the first movie we reviewed on the podcast that we watched previously for a marathon.
I
thought that was a brilliant idea because I sure as hell don't remember anything from watching this movie. After the So thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I thought I deserved a second chance because I don't remember anything either.
So with that in mind, I want to announce right now that my next pick for the podcast is going to be Showgirls 2.
No!
Oh, God.
What?
Damn it.
Oh,
no.
Paul!
Oh, God. All right, Jay, let's move away from Paul. Let's not let him talk anymore.
Paul, can you throw to me with the sound of the green slime, please?
For fuck's sake.
One of the best theme songs of all time. I don't think there's any debating that.
No, we're gonna get into that.
Yeah, that's really it held up way better than I thought it was going to. I don't remember it at all from the first marathon, and yeah, I had a very good time watching it.
Nice. All right, Mike. I guess it's your turn.
Whatever. Go ahead, Mike, I guess.
Much like everyone else, I was absolutely smashed when we watched this at the marathon. So I remember nothing of it. But I think the only appropriate and really way to do this for my quick take is to take a quick pull from my handle I have of Smirnoff Ice Green Slime. Green apple malt liquor. Wow. It's a big bottle. Guys, wow. See how big it is compared to my head? My
yeah.
So I'm going to take a quick pull of this just to give my quick take.
Listeners, it's the size of Mike's head.
It's huge.
Fuck me.
Well, what'd you think was going to happen?
I chugged it too. That was not a quick take.
That was a big pull, dude. Jesus.
Oh.
Well, this should be a fun episode in about 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you got?
You know, I don't remember this movie at all from the marathon, so my only memories of it are from when I was like 9 years old or something. And yeah, this thing holds up really, really well.
Great take. What's next?
Yeah.
We were so bummed at that first marathon. We were so excited because we did like, what do we do? Hard Ticket to Hawaii and Late Afternoon. And Green Slime was last. Oh. And by the time we got around to Green Slime, we were bummed.
Yeah. I remember everyone just smeared across the hotel room.
Yeah.
I just remember the green slime jello shots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, those have been a staple.
Tradition.
Yeah. Yep.
And all of our B-movie marathons.
All right. Well, let's just dive right in. I mean, it's a pretty basic movie.
It's very basic.
You know, can I make an observation, if I may? Because this just jumped out at me huge watching this for the first time. This movie, the plot of this movie, it's pretty much the entire film of Deep Impact or Armageddon.
Yeah.
But it is done. They have the problem solved in Act 1.
Yeah.
They called the right team.
30 minutes in, they are blowing up the asteroid.
Yeah, I mean, all of Act 1 is basically there's an asteroid that is heading towards Earth, and it's going to probably destroy the Earth if we don't do something about it really quick.
It's a Class 2 asteroid named Flora, mm-hmm. actually, even, in case that needs to be known.
Flora, that's a Class 2 asteroid.
Right. Close to 6 million tons of rock. And at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, it'll collide with Earth.
And isn't it like they recognize it, they see it, and with it, they're like, oh, here's an asteroid. Oh, the Earth has 6 hours. I mean, it's like super fast between when they see it.
But this asteroid is super delicious looking. Like, it looks like someone balled up some German red velvet cake or something like that. Like I just want to take a big old bite out of it because it looked delicious.
It's funny because I thought it looked like the coronavirus.
Do I have the coronavirus now?
These are uncertain times for everyone. Other companies say they're there for you, but at Nightbeast Industries, we really are. Now, more than ever. Because we know that you rely on our fine selection of products. We also know that we still need to get paid, so please continue to buy our stuff. Janet, our secretary, has 5 kids, and she burned through her stimulus check in like a week. Go to bit.ly/nightbeast today. Bust out that credit card and put some of our warehouse workers in unnecessary danger. They've been coughing a lot. The economy is like a shark. If it stops moving, even for 1 second, it will die. Nightbeast Industries, we're here for you. As long as you keep feeding that hungry shark.
I love this, like, terrible Japanese, like, Godzilla type movie model work.
That's a perfect way to describe it. It's like the space stations look like they're the same type of build as the towns Godzilla smashes in the old movies.
It's not great.
No, it's not, but it's, like, functional.
You might even say these space stations are the towns that Godzilla did not smash.
You could say that.
There's a certain... would you consider it having charm because we know what it is in that association? Like, would we have thought, oh, this has charm if we watched it in 1968 or 69?
No.
No, we'd be like, this sucks.
Oh, no. It would have been garbage in 1968.
If I didn't want to watch something that was nostalgic like this, if I didn't really enjoy the model work, which I really did, it looks fun and great, and I love the intricacies and all the miniatures and stuff like that, but if I wasn't wanting that, this would be a horseshit movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did want it. I enjoyed it.
It's basically the look of this thing has aged well because of the sort of, like, kitschy nostalgia value of it. The story has aged not quite as well.
I'm sorry. Did you say story, Paul?
The lack of story has not aged very well.
Oh, well, I want to know what you're talking about here.
I have the script here. I pulled up the script. I downloaded the script here. And the script says, movie starts, dope-ass song, asteroid shows up, they solve the problem, green slime shows up, they kill a couple dudes, everyone gets away, credits. Like, it's just a shot map, basically. Not even a shot map, it's just a plot, couple points.
Okay, I do not agree with this. I think there is a story here.
Well, I'm lying, obviously, Jay. I was just doing a fucking bit.
No, I'm talking to Paul. I know you're doing a bit.
I mean, yeah, there's a very basic story.
Yeah, I mean, if you just took the blueprint of this movie, you could make a badass horror action movie. Now, granted, you'd have to have a lot of money, but if you did, you could use this exact same idea.
You'd have to have a lot more stuff too.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, you could take the blueprint of this movie and make something awesome.
This movie would be ripe for the picking of making, like, a 1988 Blob version update of it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm down for it. It's a movie that does have a fun premise.
There you go. Yeah.
In every regard is horseshit.
and we could do better. Like it's still fun as a package. I'm not saying like the whole movie's not a worthwhile watching. Just the point is, we could do everything better and not in the like stupid gritty reboot version or something like that. Like we could just do.
I think the Blob analogy is perfect.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We could do the Blob like that. That fucking Blob 1988 movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which as childhood me, two cornerstones of my B movie kind of upbringing was this movie and the original Blob with Steve McQueen.
Oh, I love both of these movies. That brings me to our first Kink Tank of the night.
Kink Tank.
Wait, what did he just say? Is there a Steve McQueen kink?
No, I just gotta. I want to talk to Chris about Wham.
Oh God.
Oh, George Michael.
No, wet and messy fetish.
Oh.
Also known as splashing. So Chris, I don't think you have to necessarily like bury yourself to the listeners here, though. You know, if you want to, go for it. But maybe you are one of the types of people who will often like to be pelted with things like cream pies or have slime dumped on them or sit on cakes. Is that, you know, maybe one of your kinks?
Well, I did really enjoy Double Dare when I was a kid.
It's a gateway.
Well, maybe you are a person who does enjoy and appreciates WAM or wet and messy.
All right, maybe that explains my love of the Blob and the green slime.
Yeah.
It explains my love of you can't do that on television.
Oh. Yeah, and you know what, Paul? You can't.
Space Central to Commander Rankin.
This is Rankin. Go ahead.
Jack, that damn thing you're on is accelerating. Do you hear me?
I read you.
Detonation time has to be moved up to 3 o'clock.
But it's 2:40 now. We can't possibly outrun the blast.
There's no alternative.
Do you realize what you're asking?
I realize what I'm asking. 3 o'clock.
All right, well, we get basically the entire, like, plot of Armageddon out of the way within 30 minutes.
Hold on a second. Armageddon did the plot of the green slime.
Well, yeah, but our listeners may not have necessarily seen the green slime. They might have seen Armageddon first.
Okay.
And Armageddon did the first act of the green slime. They said, this is so ripe for, like, making a fleshed-out thing. When they fleshed out the first act, which is lack of any sort of substance, it took an entire 3 hours.
Yeah, and you know, if they would have gone ahead and done Armageddon 2, where the thing explodes, they blow up the asteroid and save the day, but all of the particles hit Earth and create the green slime into it. Let's do it.
I would so be into that. But before we move on from Act 1, I really want to talk about the theme song.
Oh, yes, we have to.
Give us a little taste, Chris.
Open the door, you'll find the secret. To find the answer is to keep it. You'll believe it when you screaming across your mind, green slime.
It is possibly the greatest theme song for any movie.
Yes, no doubt.
Top five easily, but I could. There's an argument for number one.
You guys keep singing Green Slime. The listeners, if they've listened to previous episodes, have probably heard one of us sing Green Slime. I, the person who was absolutely fucking hammered out of his mind. Hold on a second.
Oh, God.
Oh, and it's getting there again.
At the marathon, when we watched this, do not recall this theme song. So I didn't know the version that you guys were singing necessarily. I just trusted your version. And then I heard it. Guys, when I heard the theme song for Effective the first time, I fucking boned up, man. It was amazing. And you guys have done a great job, but that singer is so fucking great.
Oh, it's so great.
You knew it well enough at the first marathon to, while Chris was singing it, call me over with my camera that I was recording on, pull your Daisy Dukes to the side, show me your balls, and sing Pink Slime.
In fact, I think we have that video we're going to post on our website, right?
We have the authority to do such a thing.
Listeners, comment down below and let us know which version of the video you want to see. the PG version or the NC-17 version.
Oh, fuck me.
It's a great, great theme song. I did a little research.
It absolutely is.
Tell us about the song, Chris.
Oh, I don't think it speaks for itself, Mike. I don't even think I need to get into the research I did on the background of the song.
Then why the fuck did you do it? Tell us.
Because it's a fucking great song and stands on its own merits.
Fine. I got research. Hey, you want to own the Green Slime theme song? Well, it got released as a 7-inch 45 back in 1969 by MGM Records, catalog number K14052. It's a split with the song Far Beyond the Stars. Currently going on Discogs for $271.68.
Holy shit.
So if you want that, it's expensive.
Wow. Let's get a GoFundMe going so we can raise that so we can buy a copy.
Yeah, that'll go over well during this pandemic.
Well,
our Green Slime GoFundMe will go great.
Hey, they gave $30,000 to a guy for potato salad. I mean, we're just asking for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's always people that'll spend their money on stupid stuff over important things.
General?
Yes?
Commander Rankin is here, sir.
Send him into my private office.
What's Rankin doing here?
I sent for him.
But he's tendered his resignation. You can't send him on a mission like this where the chances of survival are next to zero, and you know it.
He's still the top officer of my command. I'd have absolute confidence in him no matter what we're faced with. And I'll be go to hell if I know what we're faced with.
There's three main characters. Jack Rankin.
Which one's that?
He's the main guy.
He's just a dick.
Okay,
and then
okay.
There is Vince Elliott.
Which one's that?
He's the commander of the space station Gamma 3.
Yeah.
He's too nice for command.
Too nice for command. And Jack and Vince used to be friends, but he had some sort of falling out, which we'll probably talk about later. But Jack is voluntold to go up and blow up the asteroid.
Voluntold?
Well,
is it an army term, Chris?
Yes, it is. I mean, okay, Earth Command is asking for a volunteer, but they bring Jack in, and he's basically given no choice.
They tell him, too. They're like, look, man, you're probably not going to survive this. But if he doesn't do it, the Earth's going to be done anyway.
He really has no choice. But he goes up. He goes up to Gamma 3. It's kind of his way station on his way to the asteroid. And to meet up with his old friend Vince. And Vince's fiancée, Lisa, who also once had a relationship with Jack. Ooh. So there's this really kind of
awkward,
not very good love triangle.
Wait, very what? I didn't catch any of that.
It's very subtle.
Wait, you know, there is a version of this movie where the love triangle was cut out.
Oh, did I watch that?
Ooh. Was it 15 minutes long then?
Did you maybe watch that? Did you watch the 77-minute version?
No, I was obviously way late for a meeting, so no, I watched the full fucking version.
Okay, well, there's a love triangle.
Oh, okay.
There. Just trust this. The thing I found funny is that when Jack gets to the space station, he gets there, says like, what's up, Vince? And wants to leave in 20 minutes to go blow up this asteroid. That is efficient.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why this first act it just moves so much faster than Armageddon. Because Jack Rankin gets shit done. He's an asshole about it, but...
Hey, guys, remember when there was just old dudes in movies?
Yeah, you wouldn't catch that happening now.
No, even Channing Tatum's too old to be our hero in this one. Like, what the fuck? Yep. This guy's 70 years old and he's the hero.
We probably couldn't even name the guy they would cast in the remake.
No.
None of us are...
Like, Zac Efron's, like, kid or something would be it.
Yeah, yes.
Commander Rankin! Look, pulsating. It's alive!
Get rid of it.
But this is a major discovery. You can't bring it with you. Now everybody get on board.
So they go to the asteroid, they plant their explosives, but there is...
Sorry.
Mike's about to spew some green slime of his own. Which...
Titular green slime.
But on the asteroid is the titular green slime. It's all over the place, and their doctor wants to bring some back to research it. But the asteroid is apparently speeding up, so they don't have time to do bullshit like drive back to their spaceship or collect samples. They're going to die. They need to blow that shit up.
Yeah, and you're telling me that like the asteroid is speeding up. I think a scientist on Earth just screwed up his calculations.
It's not moving.
Yeah. They land on a stationary asteroid.
This whole movie didn't need to happen.
And isn't it the ground control is like, hey man, you got to move the detonation time up by like 15 minutes or something. Pretty much saying they're gonna die.
Exactly saying that. I mean, like they have to do what they have to do to save, you know, the planet, and there's not enough time for them to get away from the blast, basically.
Fortunately though, they have Jack Rankin, Space Commander.
Crankin' Rankin', baby.
Crankin' Rankin'. That's actually appropriate because when they're on the ship, he cranks the ship up to 10 G's, which I'm also pretty sure there's issues with the physics there. But
that whole scene is then like, hey, old dude, pretend you're fighting against gravity. And then he just kind of sort of does it, but he doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone is like, no, it's going too fast. And Jack Rankin's like, I said do it. And he walks. He's the only one that can walk.
Yeah.
And he walks to the front of the ship and hits the accelerator, and they blast up to, I think, 10. Now, I saw a thing that said humans can stand up to 46 Gs, but that was one guy who, like, for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. They, like, the one guy, they're like, go faster, and the one guy was like, oh, we're at, like, 10 Gs already. We can't take much more. And so the pilot does it against his want, cranks that thing up, and he cranks it up, like, half an inch, right? And everyone's acting like it's so much fucking
They're
much.
Pinned to the chairs.
And then fucking old man Crankin' Jack here.
Crankin' Rankin'.
Just cranks it off all the way. Crankin' Rankin' just fucking shoves it all the way up. Like a foot. Like, it's insane the difference between what they thought was a big amount compared to what he just did, like 10 times more.
Crankin' Rankin'.
Well, okay. And according to this research, John Stapp was the guy who went 46.2 Gs for a couple seconds. And in that instant, his body weighed over 7,700 pounds.
Jesus.
So how much would they have weighed when Crankin' Rankin'?
He must have been a fucking baby compared to Crankin' Rankin'. That guy was walking around like no one's business.
He was walking through it.
He was fine.
We're spending way too much time on this point.
I'm sorry, did we make up Crankin' Rankin', or was that a thing before?
That's us.
No, that's us.
I like it a lot. Go to store.bmoviemania.com to get your Crankin' Rankin' t-shirt.
We have Crankin' Rankin' shirts now?
Paul, the design is fucking amazing.
Oh, Paul, thank you for designing that.
Shit.
He gets shit done.
Yes, that's what it should say on it.
Hey, but it works, right? I mean, he cranks it, and they're able to get away from the asteroid as it explodes.
Yeah, they live.
And not only does he get away, but as Mission Control yells over and over, they finally got off. They've outrun the blast. Yes. Like, they just keep saying
I thought about making that my quick take.
Well, I love once they get back to the ship, you know, Crankin' Rankin', he's a stickler for the rules, and Lisa bursts in, breaking their quarantine. He's like,
familiar with the regulations.
I didn't say you weren't, Doctor. I'd like them run through 3 times.
Just a minute, Doctor.
3 times? I can't spare the equipment that long. I've got to run this station.
I said 3 times, Doctor.
But how long is their quarantine time? Because it's party time, like an hour later.
Right.
If that.
They're dancing.
Well, Rankin also cranks on the rules.
Yeah, he does crank those rules to his desires.
Meanwhile, while everyone else is partying, our good doctor who tried to bring the sample, there's a little bit of green slime on his spacesuit.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, this confused me, because what is quarantine protocol if you're just going to take all the clothes and, like, put them in the laundry or whatever and not worry about it?
I'm pretty sure that's all it is.
Yeah.
He put them in a decontamination chamber, which apparently radiates, just blasts the spacesuits with ungodly amounts of electricity or energy.
Oh.
Which, as we find out later, is food for the green slimes.
Mm-hmm. The writer's room for this was just like, wait a minute. What if, guys, guess me, what if, when they decontaminate, it's actually good for the monster. What if it's good, guys? And then the other guy's just, yes, oh my God, wait a minute. Remember how he said, let's do it 3 times? Let's decontaminate 3 times? Holy shit, we're going to have a triple monster, baby! Like, that's what this thing happened. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's one of the highlights in Hollywood's screenwriter's rooms.
Yep.
It's one of those famous scenes.
Well, you know the saying, introduce it at the very beginning of Act 2 and then use it 5 minutes later.
Yep.
Well, one thing I loved about Act 2 is they don't waste any time. getting to this monster. Like, they kind of build up a mystery, kind of the monsters kind of electrocuting people, hiding in the ductwork and the power lines for, like, what, 10 minutes before they reveal
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually like this, though, because isn't it, they're just summoned to the main power room, and they're like, oh, something's going on. There's just one of these green slime things laying right there next to the generator, in like plain view. Yeah. Yeah. It's just sitting there.
Yeah, what was it doing?
Just soaking up the juice.
It was eating.
It was shaking with pleasure.
Well, I found the high voltage room, and so it's like...
What I liked about it, everyone is circling it, looking at this thing. They're like, okay, this they know this is the thing that's killing people. And they're just looking at it, and it's sitting there, and it's just, it's a bright scene. It's not hiding or anything, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it. And then they screw up, and it attacks them. But
well, Crank and Rankin wants to kill it until the doctor comes up. No, we must capture it and study it.
Yeah, see, the doctor has a little bit of a... interest in this creature.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He might be interested in something called electrical play.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
We got another kink tank.
Kink tank. Me?
You guys see, electrical play is any type of BDSM where electricity is used on the body to create different sensations. The most common electrical toys are neons or violet wands. And TENS units, which I believe is a brand. Both neon wands and violet wands are static electricity to create a shocking feel on the skin. And that's what our green slime was doing in the power room.
What's that called, Mike?
Oh, that's called electrical play. Because it was a kink tank.
Look that up later on YouTube.
Oh, so basically the doctor sees this creature as his very own sex toy.
I mean, he just sees that the creature's coming all over the fucking power room. And he's like, I want that. And he wants to learn from it. So,
and it does have some pretty sweet tentacles that...
I don't have a kink tank for that. That's a whole other episode.
Well, one thing I love about this scene is, okay, clearly the attempt to capture it just goes terribly wrong. And this thing goes batshit on the crew. It kills, like, what, 20 guys? I don't know. I lost count. It's just knocking people off the catwalks and everything. It's so great. And eventually it hides again. It gets away.
Yeah, and the doctor finds, well, and now, Mike, now you've got me wondering. I thought it was blood on the floor.
Yeah.
Jay, you think it's green semen?
Yes.
I did try to prepare a blood and semen kink tank because that's what I kind of thought that looked like.
No, that's okay.
No, but I didn't. I found nothing interesting.
Thank God. Well, in the meantime, we get a little exposition, though. Movie's over. That's it. I don't have a good segue for that. But no, we get a little exposition. The doctor discovers that it eats electricity, that it duplicates faster than anything known to man, and it can spawn new creatures from its own blood.
And even one microscopic cell can replicate. So you're really out of luck if you end up touching one.
That's how we go from one to like 5,000 in like no time.
And what does the whole group of them sound like, Chris? Like, we know what one sounds like, but what does it sound like when there's like a bunch of them?
Well, I don't know if you've heard the background through all this, but here, let me crank up the volume a little bit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, turn it way up, Chris. It's really in the back of this hamburger. Thank you.
No, God damn it better not have been. I'm drinking more green slime.
But this presents a problem for the crew because you can't shoot these things in any sort of traditional manner with a laser gun because it's just going to create more green slime. So how do you stop these things?
Well, Jack comes up,
Crankin' Yankin'
with a really good way. It's not very effective, but he starts this trend of throwing shit at the creatures.
Of what, Chris?
He starts throwing shit at the creatures. He throws his helmet. Later, he throws a flashlight. Yeah. He throws guns at it. He just throws all kinds of stuff, but... and it never works. It doesn't do shit, but it's pretty great. every time someone throws something at these things, I just lose it.
Well, they end up sealing off a whole part of the space station, and they have this whole plan where they're going to bait the green slime into a storage room that has a power generator. And it starts to work for a while.
Yeah. It actually does work for them.
They actually get these things to follow their little cart as they're rolling back toward the... And they're not very fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to get everybody out of the one sealed-off area. And what do you know? Somebody gets stuck.
Yeah, that fucking doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all his medical research inside, and he gets trapped inside the air, inside the section that they're trying to seal off.
Yeah, and then he wants back out. And I'm sorry, like, the whole problem here is Crankin' Rankin is very pragmatic here. He's saying, no, we're not going to save this guy. And his buddy Vince, the whole movie, Rankin is saying, Vince, you're too soft for command. You can't lead because you make poor decisions. And Vince wants to open the door and save the doc, knowing all the green slime are in there. I was very on Team Crankin in this scene.
Well, it's hard to, like, I found myself going back and forth because I think Vince is the more likable character, but Crankin' Rankin, he's kind of a dick, but he knows what's going on.
You want him on that space station. You need him on that space station.
Like, if this were Vince in charge, the whole Earth would have been destroyed. I'm sorry to say it.
It's true. It's true.
But Crankin' Rankin, can't even say his name. But Crankin' Rankin he's got shit under control. And this fucking doctor fucks things up. Vince fucks things up.
Yep. You may not like him, but damn it, you respect him.
The thing about that, though, is that if Crankin' Rankin wouldn't have cranked that throttle on the spaceship and put everyone in danger by doing so, they would have died, and therefore the green slime would have never got onto the space station. So really, if you think about it, a lot of lives could have been saved if Rankin wouldn't have cranked.
That's a very good point.
That's true.
Of course, how was he to know? He inadvertently cranked.
God, now I'm just thinking about how many times I've cranked and which one of those may have saved humanity had I not done that.
Oh. Well, we're all still here, Mike.
This is General Thompson. Can you get everyone off?
You know, we've talked about getting off a lot. Maybe I should just introduce one more kink tank.
Kink tank.
Getting off is a term used by many people, mostly meaning to orgasm, but like us, like Mission Control in this film, who observed other people getting off, it's much like a kink called voyeurism. Now, voyeurism is the act of gaining sexual pleasure from watching someone engage in a sexual activity or getting off while having sex, you know, and you watch them. So, just so you know, that's an option.
That's a new one. Never heard of that one, Mike. Thank you.
In these crazy times, that might be just what people need, Mike.
Just wanted everyone to know, in this day and age, if spoiler alert, this isn't what that is. This is just, we're recording during the coronavirus quarantine situation. So if that's still happening when this comes out, guys, there's lots of ways to enjoy voyeurism even while quarantined. You know, you can't, sex in public's out. Sex at a club's out right now. Sex on a webcam. You can watch that.
I think we're through it, though.
Paul's a big chatterbait broadcaster.
No.
We can't post a link to Paul's chatterbait because that's how it doesn't work that way. It's more of a, not chatterbait, chat roulette. Oops.
Start over, Mike. God damn it.
Nope, I think we're good. I think Mike's made his point.
I abort. I abort this. I'm just going to have some more green slime. We'll see if this kink tank stays in the thing. Why don't you guys voyeur me drinking more green slime? I'll just deep throat it right now.
There you
now.
Go. Stick it down there.
While we watch Mike's deep throat, I just want to say...
Oh, too much in the back. Too much in the back.
So the green slimes are trapped in C-block, but their electrical gluttony explodes C-block.
So you might say the green slime ejaculate throughout space station.
It's a big explode. Like at God first, you think the entire station is exploding. It's big.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kills a few of them. And this gives Crankin' Rankin the idea that we can push the station into the Earth's atmosphere, and the green slimes will all die from the heat.
I guess, but that seems like a bad idea.
It's a good plan.
No.
I mean, if it burns up in the atmosphere, okay, fine. But, like, all of that green semen or whatever it is, like, some of that could seep down onto the planet.
Yeah.
Really, the military probably just would have nuked the entire space station, regardless of what Crank and Rankin said or did.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He gets this idea when half of the fucking space station explodes, which, by the way, is a pretty dope miniature special effect they use. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned everyone died because it looked like the whole thing fucking blew up, but I guess it was just half, but whatever. But it happened.
Are you listening to what I'm saying, Mike?
Listen, Paul, I'm about to say, I'm bringing it all around, Paul. When that happens, Crank and Rankin says to the doctor,
looks like some of them have been killed.
Yeah, but look how they're burned. It must have been tremendous heat generated by the explosion.
As if that fact was a fucking surprise to him.
Oh, a lot of friction, you know.
Yeah.
Can we talk about where they're flying around now?
Yeah, please, God.
So the decision is made to destroy the space station. Vince doesn't like it, gets into a fight with Crank and Rankin, and that doesn't go very far. So Vince is escorted to a ship, but the green slimes are all outside of the station. But they're blocking the door to keep the escape hatch where all the ships are going to fly out of. So somebody's got to go outside and get them off the door.
Vince Elliott.
Captain Martin.
You're talking about Fartin' Martin?
Fartin' Martin, yes. Everyone's got some very catchy rhyming nicknames in this movie.
Well, one of the other things that we haven't really touched on as much is, I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with Elliot, but I don't think anything does. He believes that, what's her name, Lisa?
Lisa, his fiance?
Yeah, that she is not over Jack, that they still have a thing going on. So,
which is pretty clear that
it's very clear. Yeah, but that's a lot of the tension that's going on. You have the sort of like professional tension going on based on the situation, and then you have, you know, more of the subtext of what's going on within the relationships.
So Vince, I think through a bout of jealousy, finally mans up and tries to rescue everyone, make sure everyone gets off the station alive. So he and his buddies go swooping around, taking unnecessary risks, flying in between the green slimes. It's so amazing. I love it. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
So good. Is it wire work, right?
Yeah, it's gotta
be. Are
they
doing some like blue screen wire work and shit or whatever, superimposed, whatever they fucking did back then?
Yep.
God, it's beautiful. It's fucking beautiful.
And pretty much the entire team gets cleaned out except for Vince and two other guys too.
Yeah.
And so they make it to the last escape pod and everything's flooding with green slime. Then Crank and Rankin, I think, has to crank one more control thing to open up the escape pod doors. So he goes back to Crank by himself, and then Vince learns that, and he's like, there's no way he's going to survive by himself. I'm going back in.
Well, one thing I love about this is movies today, like, you know, if you got to go crank the controls one last time, that's a suicide mission.
Mm-hmm.
Not for Crank and Rankin. He's like, I'm going to crank the controls. I got my spacesuit. I'm just going to fly off and meet the ship. And they'll pick me up.
Yep.
Great. It's not a suicide mission.
He can crank under any circumstances. He can crank all day. He can crank all night. That motherfucker's built to crank.
And it's great when he's trying to accomplish this suicide mission. Chris, you alluded to this earlier. Crank and Rankin takes his rifle and throws it at one. Like, embeds it in one of the green slime. It's awesome.
It's so good. Right in his mouth. It's fucking great.
So you got Jack and Vince back together again.
Paul, just a quick note for the t-shirt. Find out the year that the actor was born, and then, like, at the bottom put, built to crank since, like, you know, like 1937 or whatever.
I think he was... it was, like, in the 20s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, probably 20s.
Yeah.
No, that actor had a long history in television before doing the green slime.
Yeah. He was a cowboy.
God.
Yeah.
He was 65 when he fucking was the hero of this movie. God damn it.
Maybe that's why he was so cranky, because he was ready to retire.
He's like, get off my space lawn.
Cranky Ranky.
Cranky Ranky.
Cranky.
Yeah.
That was his nickname before Cranky.
Once he found Crankin', he became less cranky.
That tends to help, you know, if you crank it a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Sometimes you're crankery, and you just got to crank it to get... Never mind. Anyway, continue on. What happened, Super Gamma 3? Okay.
Okay, well, what gets me is... Okay, so Vince has got his crew swooping around outside shooting the green slimes to say let the ships escape. And he goes to meet up the ship, whatever, in his spacesuit. But he goes back to save Crank and Rankin. Like, why? Like, Rankin has done nothing but shit on him this entire movie. He's done his job. Nope, I'm going to go make sure. Maybe he didn't think Crank and Rankin could crank without him.
Sometimes you need an extra hand to crank.
You never could take orders. Everybody's got his weakness, right?
It's pretty much Vince's MO, though, through the whole thing. He is always willing to sacrifice the entire world for one person. And they even tell a story earlier in the movie. Why Jack thinks he's unfit for command is because he sacrificed 10 guys to save one guy.
He sucks.
And I think it was Crank and Rankin. I think he was the one guy Vince saved.
Yeah.
And Crank and Rankin was mad because he saved him and sacrificed 10 other people.
I don't think they ever say that.
Yeah, they don't say it specifically, but I think it's kind of there. Yeah. That's my read. That's my imprint on the material that we are given.
But it's a bad decision on Elliot's part because things do not go very well for him once he's back on the station trying to save Rankin.
Yeah, he gets slimed.
Yeah. Gets electrocuted by the slimes. But thankfully, Crankin Rankin is able to crank it into the atmosphere. He brings Vince's electrocuted corpse out in space with
him. Terrible idea.
No man left behind.
Terrible idea.
Yeah. It is a terrible idea.
But no man left behind, Paul.
The entire reason that they got into this debacle in the first place was because somebody had green slime on their spacesuit. Vince died tangling with one of these things, and then Rankin grabs him to pull him onto another spaceship. We could have a whole contamination situation all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. Didn't even think of that. I would love to see a sequel that takes off from there.
Hopefully with the same effects.
Yeah, yes. But hey, you know, I don't think we talked about just what the green slimes look like. So before we wrap it up.
Oh, great point.
Let's describe the beautiful rubber monster that is the green slime.
They have one giant eye that looks like it's constantly bleeding.
Yeah, big red eye.
But not green blood, it's red.
Yeah, that's weird.
Bunch of floppy tentacles.
Yeah.
And they also go,
no. Well, obviously, we're posting a photo of one.
Oh, yeah.
I have the poster on my wall for Green Slime. It's a great poster. And the green slime that you see in the poster is way more terrifying than the actual monsters. In fact, if we're talking about our scary current remake, what they have on the original poster, if they could make it, would be awesome.
Yeah.
But what we get is a ridiculous looking rubber monster.
Yeah, I have to say, Chris,
yep,
I'm going to have to take off 10 points for my rating because false advertising on that poster, 7 of 9 is you never see her in that spacesuit. Bullshit.
That's true.
Jay, can you take a picture of yourself next to the your green slime poster for our listeners to see? We'll post it down below.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
Gamma 3 falls into the Earth's atmosphere, blows up in another really... It's like blazing on fire, and it blows up, and it's so great.
Oh, it's a great fire shot. There's like matches sticking out of it and shit. It's fantastic.
We cut back to Jack and the spaceship. You know, he's rendezvoused with the last ship out of there and recommends that Vince Elliott be given the highest honor posthumously. And then he gives this completely out of nowhere thumbs up.
He does that earlier in the movie.
What the fuck is
that? He does it earlier in the film. It's his trademark thumbs up. Yeah. He does it when they're giving him this mission in the first place. And they say, you know, it's suicide, whatever. Okay, you're going to go do it. And he just, rather than saying anything, he just goes, boom, thumbs up. It was a callback. It was Chekhov's thumbs up, Chris. It was there.
He does it also when they're in the infirmary and he walks by one of the crewmen and he's hurt and he says, how's the hand? And he says, oh, it's good. And he gives him a thumbs up. So this is like his little signature thing.
Yeah, whole other layer to the character here.
It just seemed completely out of place right here.
It does. It always does. Every time he does it, it's out of place. Like, what do you mean thumbs up? The world's ending.
And then the movie just ends because this is back when movies just ended. Yeah.
And then we get that kick-ass theme song all over again.
Green slime.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Rating time.
All right, there's only one rating scale we can rate this movie in. From 1 to 100, green slimes!
Oh yeah, nice. Baby, I'm into it.
Let's go with Mike first. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Well, let me tell you about it. This is absolutely one of the better It's on the side of, like, holds up fun older films that are, like, these kind of B-movie stuff. Like, you get into the sci-fi scene in, like, the 50s and 60s and the 70s even, like, and it's questionable sometimes because, you know, it's pulp. A lot of the time it's a lot of pulp fiction and kind of shit and stuff like that. This movie drags on plot. There's a bunch of boring parts in it. But, it, man, if you want to see some fucking fun miniature kind of stuff and all that kind of thing. And hold on, I got some green slime I got to drink. But if you want to watch, like, you know, fun miniatures and, like, the lighting on that shit is really good. Like, it's really classic and it's very fun. And you want to see that shit, like, fuck, man, this is great. And if you don't know better when you see the year on it to, like, if you don't like that shit, then don't watch it. But if you don't know better, then you should watch this anyway because this is one of the funner ones. I'm going to say fucking 60 green slimes.
All right, higher than I expected. Paul, what do you think about green slimes?
Yeah, you know, it's the type of movie where I think it would be a great movie to have on in the background at a party. One of those type of deals. Like, me and Mike used to have parties. We'd put something, usually it was Orgy of the Dead, obviously, but we'd put something on the TV in the backdrop if we're having a little get-together. That would be great. Great to look at, you know, very fun visuals. Mm-hmm. Plot, not so much.
Yeah.
I was going to go 65, deduct 10 because of the false advertising poster art. And I will go 55 best theme songs ever.
All right. Jay, your turn.
I think I'm going to go in a slightly different direction. Oh. I enjoyed this quite a bit. I mean, it's not hanging on my wall for no reason. I do enjoy this movie. I think there is a plot. I don't understand the saying that there's no plot here. There's a love triangle. There's the main two characters professionally and personally argue. The first half hour, you know, there's really no green slime because they're dealing with the asteroid and they've got to, you know, take care of that before the monsters show up. But when the monsters show up, things move pretty fast. Like Mike said, you got to be into this kind of thing or you might find it boring if you can't look at the older style of movies. But I really enjoyed it. I hadn't seen it in years like y'all, but I remember it fondly. I'm going to go 80.
Wow.
Green slimes. I thought it was fun. I think it holds up. I think it's worthwhile. I enjoyed it. Chris.
This is pretty tough for me because I think you guys are going to be wildly disappointed in my score.
Wow, all right.
So I have such a connection to this movie from my childhood.
Cool.
It's really like one of the movies that's probably most responsible for me being here doing this sort of podcast today.
Oh boy. I hear something in the distance.
Uh-oh. What do I hear in the background right now?
I mean, the movie like holds up a lot better than I remembered. It moves pretty quickly. I agree with Jay that there's...
Yeah.
I thought it did. I was not bored through any of this. I did not check to see how much time there was left in this at all, like I do with a lot of movies.
It is a well-constructed plot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's...
Holy shit, Paul.
It holds up pretty well, I think. I mean, you've got... Like you said, it's got to be... You got to be into this sort of thing. But the model work is great. I love the stupid-looking monsters. I mean...
Give it to us, Chris.
And I'm really trying to rate this according to how much I've enjoyed other movies, but I think this one gets a nice nostalgia boost.
Uh-oh.
And I'm adding 10 points just for the theme song alone.
Uh-oh. Just yeah. Come on, Chris, what is it? Come on.
Oh, I do hear it. I do hear something in the background right now.
So I'm giving this 94 green slimes.
Oh, never mind. I misheard it.
I misheard it.
Yeah, I couldn't give it 100. I mean,
you can just delete all of the stuff we said building up to that.
I thought about it, but I couldn't give it a 100. But
well, you kissed the edge. I heard that mariachi music kind of cresting up a little bit, but then it dove down away real quick at some point. So.
It just dove down. Yep. I mean, I love this movie for so many reasons. I mean, it's not good, and you've got to be into this sort of model work, silly monster stuff, but
it's a lot of fun to watch.
It's so great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like that sometimes we have a variance among our scores.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that much. Keep in mind that I gave it 65, but I had to deduct 10 for the poster art.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I gave it a solid 60.
That's pretty good.
We're fine.
We're all above 50.
Nobody's given this one a 5 or anything.
Yeah.
No, no one's Gail Murrin-ing this shit.
Hey, we all get to Gail Murrin something every once in a while.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Oh, my friends. Oh, my friends.
You're never too young. You're never too young to die.
I have been so excited to announce my choice. Listener, I sent all of my good friends here on the B-Movie Maniacs gifts about kind of hinting at what movie I was going to pick. So I was so excited about it. And this is a first. Just like technically The Green Slime was the first disaster film we've done, because I guess technically it's like an Armageddon-style movie. But technically whatever. But this is a first on all levels. This is a film by renowned director Steve Rudzinski. Maybe you guys know him from 2013's Super Task Force 1 or 2011's Slaughter Hunter or maybe 2017's A Meowy Christmas.
Yeah, I know all those.
Do you, Paul? Really?
No, not really.
He doesn't. Okay. Anyway, in 2015, this director, Steve Rudzinski, made a movie called Captain Z and the Terror of Leviathan. In 1714, Captain Zachariah Zakuchi stops a group of possessed townsfolk from using a powerful amulet that would have released an ultimate evil, the Leviathan. Fast forward to 2014, and the amulet is again in the wrong hands. Can Captain Z save the world? This is our first time-traveling pirate movie we're ever going to review, guys. It's a time-traveling pirate movie, and we're going to watch it!
Wow.
Josh Kirby doesn't count as a time-traveling pirate movie?
He's not a pirate!
Oh, boy, the budget is $15,000.
Oh,
guys,
boy.
You can watch it on Amazon Prime or Tubi.tv, one of our faves here at B-Movie Mania. So fucking watch Captain Z and the Terror of Leviathan, boys.
I have high hopes for this because we all know you can't do a time-traveling pirate movie for less than $10,000.
Mike, do you not know the rules of this podcast? You're
what?
Supposed to save your $250 budget movies for the last quarter of the of the season.
Oh, don't worry. That's coming up, baby.
Oh, boy.
This is $15,000, wow. Jason.
Shit.
All right. Well, join us. Join us here in 2 weeks for that pile of shit.
That's exciting. I love it when Mike brings something to the table that we've never heard of before.
Yeah, this looks like fun.
Guys, it looks like a fucking theater group made a movie, man. It looks fucking good.
Oh, that's my jam.
I know it is.
Oh, boy.
You guys love all of this shit.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, you can review us and check us out on bmoviemania.com. Buy a t-shirt. Buy one of... do we have the Crankin' and Rankin' shirts up yet?
We sure do.
They just hit.
Yeah, Paul did a very good job.
They looked
it's
amazing.
So good.
Good job, everyone.
Oh, I hate my life.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
I gotta finish. Do I have to finish this?
Yeah, you gotta chug it.
Yeah, you have about 30 seconds to finish that mic.
Ready?
Green slime.
He's still chugging. All right, he's still going. You got a little bit more.
I'm gonna fucking vomit.